Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
Good morning. Welcome to the Healing Light Show. I am your host, Ken Burrow, and it's a pleasure to be here this morning. I can tell you right now, without a doubt in my mind, the enemies of God did not want this program to come on the air this morning. Talk about technical glitches and difficulties. Oh, Lord have mercy. I swear to goodness. Started off the morning, I couldn't get my adapters to work for my wireless network. I messed with that for a half hour. Tried my best to get online on my main computer. Not a zilch, nothing. And I got a little frustrated, but then at the same time I thought, hey, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice because this is an important show. Devil don't want anybody to hear what our guest today has to say. But thank God for the power of prayer. I ended up going to my secondary computer, and it apparently is working. Today, our guest is Kimberly Cook Perry. She was actually a person who called into the show, and we got to chatting and talking, and I went, you know, you'd be a great guest on this show because she's doing things that I've been told by God that I would do in the future. Haven't done it yet, but she is doing things that I believe everybody should be able to do. I believe that the more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more that we follow His lead, the more power we're going to see. Kimberly has actually raised the dead. Hear me. Let me repeat that. She's actually raised the dead. I had a dream back in 2011, and it's really a complex dream, but at the end of that dream, the voice of God told me that, you know, I would raise the dead too. Haven't seen it happen yet. And so I'm excited. Just on this topic alone, it excites me because I know with every fiber of my being that we are in the last days. I know God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh, stronger than it's ever been before, because the latter day wine is stronger than the first wine. I am excited. So let me introduce to you my newest friend, Kimberly Cook Perry. Good morning, Kimberly.
Hey, good morning, Ken. How are you doing?
I am healthy, happy, terrific. Can't complain any way, shape, matter, or form. Blessed going in, blessed going out. But thank you for asking.
Good deal.
Well, I've been saying that for 35 years, and people are like, I guess I have a lot of fun to it because most people drop their jaw and go, what did he say? He said that awful fast.
I almost asked you to repeat it.
I noticed we've got a couple of callers. Callers, we'll get to you in a minute. But first, let's hear from Kimberly. Kimberly, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your ministry. And then I want to get into that subject of you raising the dead. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. Well, a little backstory on myself. I was raised by a single mother. It was my brother and I. We grew up, man, well, it seems like everywhere, but we grew up going through a lot of spiritual warfare, I guess, throughout our whole lives, you know, and I know the Lord had placed a babysitter in our life, and she taught us of spiritual warfare. She taught us about the Lord, his love, just all things, you know. My brother and I grew up, you know, we knew the Lord. We knew the Lord was always there with us. My mother knew it. Although, you know, we all fall away at times and, you know, we kind of get off track and stuff, I guess. But, you know, the later on in life, you know, we just, I don't know. I just feel like the Lord just has done a huge work in all of us. And I'm really grateful for that. You know, I now live in Bossier City, Louisiana. I'm married. I have two grown daughters that are married, and it's just, I have a very blessed life. So,
thank you, Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Go ahead. No. I interrupted you. Listen, this is just a phone conversation between two friends, and even though we're broadcasting it, we're going to act like it's a phone conversation between two friends.
Yeah.
As you were saying, my dear.
I guess I was going to church for a long time, and, well, kind of picking and choosing churches, because I was not being filled with whatever was missing, and I could not figure out what it was, So it sounds bad, but I quit going to church. But I started doing my own studies, and that's really when the Lord showed up with me, and he just started teaching me so many things. You know, and first it started off with spiritual warfare and how to deal the things to do, the tools to use, so that I could cope while he was teaching me things. But I will say this, though, he taught me things, he teaches me things hands-on. So it's always through experience and odd experiences that I wouldn't tell just anyone because of their disbelief. And I'm really grateful for the family that I have, because they know that I don't lie about these things, and, you know, and they experience their own also. And just the things that he teaches me is amazing. And like I said, it started off with spiritual warfare, then it went into just his grace, mercy, and love, and then it went on to healings. All of a sudden, you know, people started showing up in these odd places that I don't know, you know, and there would be an ailment or something, and I knew how I believed, and the Lord started teaching me through my faith in him miracles. And I was really, I really started questioning the people dying and then coming back to life. You know, it really intrigued me. And so I prayed first. He taught me how to have compassion for people, his compassion. I did pray for that. I prayed that I would have his compassion, that he would help me through people passing away when it was their time. I look at death differently than a lot of people. I've had a lot of experience in death. I don't know. What else would you like to know?
Well, there's a lot I want to know. And I'm sure our listeners want to know too. You know, first of all, I have to agree with you, you know, that God, the fact that God started teaching, you know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will teach us.
Right.
I went through similar situations. However, I've been a minister for 35 years, and I've had my problems over the years. There's times I've questioned things, and there's times that I didn't understand. And I'll be honest with you, I still don't understand a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I do understand is that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He is God. He does not change. I also understand that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. He does not change his mind. And I'm saying that because there's people out there listening right now. You know you have a calling on your life. You may not realize exactly what it is, but you know deep down inside that God has a purpose for you in these last days, and he does, and he does not change his mind.
Right.
You know, sometimes
and it's
we
not necessarily, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, sweetie. Go.
I was going to say it's not necessarily a desire that you have either. It could be something completely opposite of what that desire is.
Well, you know, the word says he'll give you the desires of the heart.
True.
And it's true.
But
he will change the desires of your heart.
Yes, very much so, yes.
You know, I know that when I was a young man, the desires I had then have nothing to do with the desires of my heart today.
Right.
Because, you know, I am blessed, number one, that God does not change his mind. I am blessed that the gifts and callings are irrevocable. I am blessed that I have had the opportunity, especially since May of last year, to walk. Well, it has not, no, first of all, it has absolutely nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus.
Right.
Jesus gets all the honor and the glory.
Amen.
But I have seen over, since May 5th of last year, I have seen well over 300 miraculous healings, including a blind man receiving his sight. And that one will bring your faith up a whole bit when you see that happen right before your eyes.
Yeah.
Heart conditions, all kinds of. If somebody's in pain, I know all I have to do is call them, and that pain is going to be gone before the phone conversation is over. In fact, this past month, it seems that everybody I call, even before I talk to them, as soon as the phone rings, God is healing them. Their pain is going away before I even pray. Only Jesus. Mm-hmm. Only Jesus can do those things.
Right.
So I do know that he is pouring out his power because we are in the last days. And I believe with every iota of my being that every spirit-filled Christian should be operating in the gifts of God. He gave us all authority. You know, and the Bible says that the power of life and death are in the tongue. Now, you did tell me a little bit about your experience with raising the dead. And you use that power of the tongue to bring those individuals back to life. Tell me about one of them.
Well, this happened April 5th in 2018. I had been studying and, I had been learning on fasting. It's such a long story. If I skip back and forth, it's because I've never done this before and I feel like I'm all over the place right at the moment, but I'll get in a groove.
That's all right.
The week before this happened, I feel like the Lord was training me on fasting and teaching me on how to pray and like true fasting, you know what I'm saying? And so I had been fasting for a week. And my husband and I decided that we were going to go to the store. And we got up there to check out, and there was a girl up there that knew my daughter. And I knew her, but she wasn't real sure who I was. So I kind of introduced myself and asked her, or I told her I was my daughter's mom. And, you know, she was really nice and asked how she was and everything. And now all of this happened. She's checking us out. And all of this happened within a span of like 2 minutes. So I'm having just a small little conversation with her. And then she realized that there was a SKU number missing on the item that we were purchasing. And so she walked away for just a second and came right back. Once she started to scan, it was a pair of tennis shoes, but she started to scan the shoes. And then I looked up at her, and when I did, she backed away very fast. She looked at me, backed away, grabbed the box of tennis shoes, and then threw them really hard on the ground. And then I was kind of caught off guard. My husband was watching, thinking that she was just, you know, playing around, but then she fell backwards onto the ground. And my husband was asking me, you know, what is she doing? You know, he really thought she was just messing around. And I kind of pushed him out of the way and told him, I said, I think she's having a seizure. So I ran around the cabinet, around the desk, and there were a lot of people in line behind me. And I kind of yelled out for someone to call 911. And I got down on my knees next to her, and I started calling her name. And there was a gray-haired man. I don't know where he came from. I do not know. But he knelt down in front of me on the opposite side of her, okay? And I rolled her towards me onto her side because she is having a seizure. I have a little bit of background on first aid and CPR and everything, but man, I was kind of in a shock. And this man looked at me and he asked me, he said, "Do you know what to do?" And I sat there for a second and I was like, I don't remember ever answering him, but like I said, all of this happened very, very fast. So I'm actually explaining this in my time as
That's
I'm
fine.
Seeing it. Okay. You know, I was thinking in my head, you know, I had training, but why can't I remember what to do? And I just drew this huge blank, and I'm steadily talking to her at the same time. Well, the next thing I know, the seizure stopped, and her eyes were open. She wasn't blinking. She stopped breathing. Her hands, her lips, everything. It was like she turned blue so fast. I knew. I felt her pulse. She had no pulse. I said it out loud, and I was telling everyone, you know, but I wasn't in a panic, which was really strange because I had never encountered anything like this before.
Mm-hmm.
But out loud, I called out and I said, "Please, Father." And I started praying over her. And then I turned around and I never really eyeballed anyone, although my husband was standing right there and he was the one on the phone with the police department. And I yelled out to all the people standing around, you know, "If you are praying people, please pray for her now. Pray for her now." And I kept saying it. And then I just went right back into prayer. And I asked the Lord to help her. And then right when I did that, I heard a little bitty gasp for air. And then there was a tear. It was so strange. A tear rolled down her cheek, but she never blinked. And then she gasped for air again, and then she closed her eyes. And then I realized she was actually breathing. And her whole body clenched up and tightened up again, and I thought she was about to have another seizure, but she wasn't. I think she was, I really didn't know what was happening. I just knew that everything happened so fast that the first man that was sitting across from me, he was gone. And another man took the place of him, and he came up, and I guess he actually worked for this store, but he told me that he was a retired fire chief or whatever, and then he asked her if he had taken her meds, and I was wondering what meds, you know. I said, he looked at me and he told me, he said, she has a history of seizures, and he asked her again, did you take your meds? And she said, yes, sir, but it was in a really faint voice, of course. You know, she's still laying down. I'm holding her hand and I'm like patting her back, just making, she's still on her side. And she looked at me and I asked her, I said, do you know who I am? And she said, no. And I said, I'm Laurel's mom. And she said, yes. And it was strange because she just kept staring at me. And I told her, I said, everything's going to be okay. And I had to get up and leave because the paramedics showed up. All right. So fast forward to the drive home. I'm sitting in the passenger seat. My husband is driving. And the Lord revealed to me that she had passed away. And I'm trying to come to grips in my mind with everything that happened and why I was so calm, but I was frustrated because I couldn't remember my own training. And then he told me, the Lord told me, and it wasn't an audible voice, but I knew it was like a knowing.
I understand.
But because of the prayers and his mercy, she was brought back to life. Then he told me that he took from my remembrance any training that I had away from me because I needed to solely depend and rely on his power.
Amen.
And then he told me that, yeah, and then he told me that we'll be seeing more and more of this so often. When I got home, I was still just mulling over everything, and it was also a message to my husband. My husband is to a certain degree, I have to see to believe, you know what I'm saying? And the Lord showed me that my husband was there because he needed to believe. And so let me see. I take notes of everything that happens, you know, like in a journal kind of, so that
okay.
I can remember because so many things happen, you know. Anyway, the Lord did tell me that what happened was because I had been prayed up and fasting. He told me I needed to read Mark 9, all right? Mark 9 is the boy that was healed. He had seizures, and the only way to remove the demon of seizures, because, you know, illnesses and everything are just a spirit, it's a demon spirit is what it is.
Absolutely.
Anyway, the only way to remove this spirit from her was fasting and praying. And because I had fasted, the Lord showed me this whole experience, which was almost identical to Mark 9. Mark 9, I think it's 14 through 29. And when I walked up to her, the demon it acted out in fear. And because of the Lord's presence. And that was a huge eye-opener for me. And it wasn't too long after that. Everything always happens in stores for me. I don't know why. And I almost feel like it's for a public display so people around can learn also and see the power of God. But I went to another store, and I passed by a woman. It was her, her daughter, and her sister. Anyway, she fell out on the floor. And I heard the sister yelling, "Please, someone call 911. And I had walked back around the corner to see what had happened. And she was, there was nothing in her body, just laying there. And I asked them, I said, "Can I please pray for her?" And they said, "Yes, please." So I got down with her and I prayed with her, and she came back around. And turns out, you know, they told me she had cancer and she was going through chemo and everything. But the Lord showed me differently. The Lord showed me that the demons were acting out and that he wants to heal this woman from this cancer. And so he made it, he made a way for me to talk to her and tell her that he wants to heal her. And I led her, she says she already knew Christ, but I led her down a little deeper into asking for forgiveness and repentance and things like that. But I mean, he does examples like this for me a lot. And at first when they started happening, I was very excited yet nervous, because I know a lot of people don't believe the way that I do, the depth that I do. You know, in 1 Corinthians, it says the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And I take it literally, because in John 11, I think it's John 11:25.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Morning coffee decided to act up. Go ahead. Continue, please.
John 11, I think it's 11:25. You know, in that chapter, that's when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, right? Well, it also says, "And when and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he says, "Do you believe this?" Well, why would he say, "Do you believe this?" Because it's one thing to die to yourself for Christ or in Christ, you know, so that Christ can live in you. But I believe he is literally speaking that we can live forever. And I'm not just talking spiritually, but like our bodies, we can, I mean, no different than Enoch, you know. The things that he's showing me is just amazing. You know, he goes into, in Mark, I think 7, Jesus heals a deaf mute. What we need to realize is that it's not me doing it. It's not me, you know, it's not what we do. It's the faith behind it. Healings are as the Holy Spirit wills. You know what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is the administrator of all the riches of Christ. And
that he is.
To receive all these things, you can only receive it by submitting and cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I want to interject just a second here. What did you specifically pray when you prayed for those folks who come back to life?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't recall everything that I prayed. I just...
Well, give me the gist.
Just as simple as calling out to the Lord, just his name, Jesus, Helper.
Okay.
This comes to my mind right now. Whenever we are, because I believe that we are to cast out demons from people, I believe in all of these, the gifts of the Lord that we are all called to walk in, okay?
I agree.
I just lost my train of thought. Give me just a second. So
That's
I believe
okay.
that we were all called to walk in all these gifts. So I really lost my thought. Well,
that's okay. We'll just continue. It's not a problem. I'm 66 years old. I do that all the time. I mean, I've walked into the bathroom and forgot why I was there. So, you know, it's
that's hilarious.
Anyhow, I have to agree with you on one thing about the Holy Spirit. Like I said before, I've been privileged to see well over 300 miraculous healings in just less than a year. And I've also noticed here recently, I'd say the last 9 or 10 of them, before I'll call them on the phone, and before they even answer, their pain starts to leave. Before I say a word, their pain starts to leave. I prayed for someone yesterday who had been in terrible pain, and before I even prayed for her, she was healed. I have another, I've talked about it several times on other shows, but, you know, I'm beginning to learn in my old age that God is God. We cannot put him in the box. He is going to do what he's going to do. And all we are supposed to do is be faithful and obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If we obey him and he says, call somebody or pray for somebody, do this or do that. When we do that, he answers before we even ask. I came up, you know, the original denomination that I was in taught that all the gifts of God and the healings and the raising the dead and all this stuff died when the apostles died. Excuse me? I can't wrap my head around that, because if the promises of God, as the Bible says, are yes and amen, if all those gifts died when the apostles died, then salvation would have died also. All the promises that he made would have stopped.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
But my same Bible says he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. I know I said that earlier, and I don't mind being redundant because that's worth repeating. The point is, when we take his word at face value, you know, he told us we would do greater things than he did.
Right.
And you said something earlier, and I have to back you up 100%. It has nothing to do with us in the first place, except for our obedience to do what he asks.
Exactly.
All that power comes from the throne of God. I've never had the experience of raising the dead, but I sure have seen so many miracles, and it continues, and it continues, and it's growing, and it's growing. And it has absolutely, you know, you said something about faith. Our faith has a lot to do with God working through us.
Yes.
But I do not believe that the person who needs a healing, or especially the person who needs to be raised from the dead, their faith has nothing to do with it.
Not when
I saw God heal a man instantly without a word of prayer being spoken. And it was a miracle. The man had one leg shorter than the other by 6-7 inches. It was drastic. Put a dot of oil on that man's forehead and looked down, his feet were gone.
And his leg grew out, didn't it?
Immediately. The evangelist and I
believe that.
Evangelist Eugene Brown was holding a revival, and he asked me to come. And we both saw the man's leg 6-7 inches shorter than the other. And the man was acting cray-cray. He was really a weird guy. But instantly, neither one of us saw it happen. We didn't see it grow out. All we did is look down and his legs were normal. I mean, it blew me away. And God had been teaching me at that point in time that I need to, and folks, we all need to learn this. We must look at others through the eyes of Jesus.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You have got to pray to have the compassion for people that Jesus has.
Well, that one individual taught me a strong, strong lesson, because when I first met him, he was cussing like a sailor. He was GD, JC, every other word.
Mm-hmm.
And God told me to be kind because, you know, it gives my spirit when I hear somebody talk that way. But the point of the matter is, after he got healed, I didn't make it to the revival the next week. The man came back, and Eugene told me he was in his right mind. He was dressed nicely. He asked for more prayer, and he was worshiping and praising Jesus. See, God saw the man the week later. I saw a man who I didn't understand why he was cussing and doing acting like he was.
Right.
Okay. God told me to be kind. I was kind.
Yeah.
But the results was Jesus saw the end of the matter before it began.
Yes.
You know,
always see
the with the people
picture.
The people that you had the opportunity to raise from the dead, I know in my heart those people have purpose. God brought them back for a reason.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We lost a couple of callers. Callers, please hang on the line. We'll get to you in a minute. In fact, I'm going to do that now. I've got one caller here. The last four digits of your phone number is 3891. If you have anything to say or anything you want to share with us, go right ahead. You're on the air. If you don't want to, it's okay. We'll just continue. So, good morning. Are you there? Okay, we're just going to continue then. So, since we have a small break here, I also want to do something that I have purposed in my heart to do on every program, and that is simply this. If you are listening today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time to get to know Him. You know, we're talking about people that have been raised from the dead, but most people do not get raised from the dead. And do you know where you're going to go when you die? I mean, it's something you need to think about. And knowing Jesus is not that difficult. You know, I have seen it's not a religious thing at all. All He seeks from you is a relationship. And all you have to do is, number one, we're all sinners. Each and every one of us. So the Bible says if we confess our sins and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ died upon that cross, 3 days later he himself was raised from the dead. And if you believe that, all you have to do is say, Jesus, prove to me you're real. Come into my heart. And He's going to do it. I guarantee it. Because He loves you more than you ever could imagine. I've never met a Christian who said, man, I regretted asking Jesus to come into my life. Not one. Now, it isn't going to be, you know, a rose garden. Everything's not going to be perfect. You'll still have struggles. But the difference is, with Him in your life, the outcome of those struggles will change because He'll be there with you and He'll help you all the way. So take the time this morning and ask Him into your heart. Amen. Go ahead.
Amen.
You're back. We're back to you, Miss Kimberly.
Well, I do want to say, you know, there, you know, with all of this, there does come warnings, you know, because like in Acts 19, you know, we have to be careful. Everybody has to be careful with healing because, you know, all these things that they're being healed from are evil spirits, okay? And if we're not walking in the Lord and we're not cooperating and we're not submitting ourselves to Him and things, then, you know, it could really backfire on us. It goes into, in Acts, you know, the miracles glorify Christ, you know, when, let's see here, it said that the evil spirits, you know, whenever, let me find them, the Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches."
Seven also, sons of Scabia, too, you know.
Yes, and a Jewish chief priest who did so, and the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know. But who are you?" That's right. And the man whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them. And they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Well, that's a warning, because Jesus has to be, you have to be completely submitted to Christ. You have to,
understand the authority that God gives to us. Let me interject this one more time. I've been in deliverance ministry for over 35 years. 36 years ago, if you had said to me that a Christian could be oppressed by the enemy, I would have looked at you and said, "You're out your mind. That can't be true. I've got Jesus in me. There's no way I could be oppressed." The truth of the matter is, he goes to oppress the believers over the non-believers because he already has the non-believers. He wants you to lose your faith. He wants to steal and destroy you. But when I went through deliverance myself and I ended up having that peace that passes all understanding, I came to a quick understanding that, oh, yes, the devil can actually oppress people. And I have, over the years, I mean, when I first started learning to bring people to deliverances, to cast devils out of folks, in the beginning, I didn't have a clear understanding, and these guys would manifest. And I mean, I've heard a grown man's voice come out of a little girl. I've heard a little girl's voice come out of a grown man. I saw a guy's neck blow up like a bullfrog. But over the years, I have come to, I know who I am in Christ. I know the authority that I have. They don't manifest at all now. In fact, what used to take 2 hours takes 2 minutes. It's changed that much because, first of all, they know who you are if you're walking in confident authority. See, I know what Christ will do. I know how deliverance works. I have seen, and that itself is a miracle. I have seen so many people. There's a lot of times when I have prayed for folks, deliverance is necessary before the healing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've never had that happen to me before. And I think that's so great. And I'm still in the very beginning learnings of all these things. So you are actually educating me as well. So,
well, I basically do the same thing every time because it's effective, you know, and not that there's a methodology to it. I mean, it's not exactly the same every time, but once we get to the point of deliverance and I command them out, they leave. I mean, I had one girl, you know, I tell people all the time, I ask them, okay, how fast is your thought process? Is it 100 miles an hour, 10,000 miles an hour, or 150,000 miles an hour? And you'd be surprised how many people say 150,000 miles an hour. See,
right.
Deception only works when you don't know about it. Once you know that you're being deceived, it no longer works. And what happens is these demonic principalities will get into your mind, and they don't make you think it's you thinking these things, and it's not. And what happens after deliverance each and every time is your thought process comes to zero. It's just peaceful. It is the peace that passes all understanding. I had one girl call me up after being delivered. She says, "Ken, I think I'm brain dead." Because she had not been used to that quiet.
Yeah.
I experienced it 30-some years ago. And to this day, I still have that peace that passes all understanding. I hear the voice of God. I hear my own thoughts. And when Satan comes in, it is, you know it immediately because I can't think of the word I'm trying to find. See, I also have times trying to remember things. It's invasive. That's the word I was searching for. When he comes in, it's invasive. You know immediately it's not God. You know immediately it's not you. And then you can deal with it immediately, too, because the Bible says if we resist the devil, he's going to flee. You know?
Yes.
The thing I do when the devil tries to attack me, he loves to take us to the past. He likes to do this. He likes to do that. As soon as I know it's him, I go, uh-uh. I hold every thought captive to obey my Jesus. Every thought captive.
Right.
And boom. And he leaves immediately. But in deliverance, to me, is a miraculous thing. I cannot explain the peace. And the Bible says it is a peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand it all, but I do know this, that when people are delivered, they don't understand it either, but they go forward. It's an amazing, amazing thing. But it brings us back to the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we will cast out demons. We'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So
yeah.
The Bible is very specific about the authority that we have. And when you understand that authority comes from our King, our Creator, our Savior, our Healer, and our Deliverer, it becomes very, very easy. It don't start off that way, but it does become easier and easier and easier. It's as anything with the gifts of God. The more you operate in them, the more you understand. The more you understand, you know that it's Him doing it. All you have to do is obey. And that brought us back full circle. Anyhow, go ahead and comment.
I think it amazes me that, I mean, I really do pray that others' eyes are open to see the authority that they actually do have in Christ and through Christ, you know, because I see a lot of people struggle with a lot of things, and I instantly know what it is. And my heart goes out to them because a lot of them don't want to believe. I guess the thing that gets me, especially in church, most churches really these days, they preach on having faith. They preach on miracles and signs and wonders and, you know, all these things. But, I mean, do they really believe it? Because I'm not seeing it happen. And
right.
They get offended if you say something or if you try to bring it up and ask them, do you really believe? Just like Jesus asked in John 11, do you believe this? You know? And because if they did, I think they would see such a difference in everything that they go through. You know, I mean, I believe that faith, our faith in the Lord, I believe that triggers miracles. You know, I also do believe this. Not all people. Now, I need you to hear and understand this. Not all people
all right.
are healed.
I know that.
But a lot of that is because of unforgiveness in their own hearts, and it hasn't been dealt with, you know.
It's more prevalent than you
it,
know.
Yes. And if we don't have that unforgiveness, I mean, if we don't have that forgiveness, I mean, it just hinders so many things, and that's why he teaches on it so much about forgiving, and you will be forgiven, and All well, of you know, it is connected.
You know, in Matthew 6, right after the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 14 and 15, it says, when you stand there and you forgive others of their trespasses against you, then the Father in heaven will forgive you of yours. But if you do not forgive others of their trespasses, the Father will not forgive you. Wow. I remember the first time I read that, I said, oh, Jesus, I'm in trouble here. You know.
Right.
Forgiveness is not.
And it takes a lot of digging deep to forgive, yeah.
I could go. In fact, I'm getting ready to do a YouTube video on that very subject. The point of the matter is, Jesus came to forgive us even when we didn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And unforgiveness is an open door for the devil, gives him a legal right to come in and attack you physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Right.
But when we forgive, we then are like Christ. It's not optional. We must forgive. If you want to be forgiven of your trespasses, of your failings, then you must forgive others. And I can't tell you how many people over the years, it's probably a couple of thousand people that I have talked to and prayed with to get them to the point of true forgiveness. Because there's liberty in that. When we forgive others, there's a lot of liberty. And when we do that, it also gives the door is then open to the Holy Spirit to come in and operate in and give signs, miracles, and wonders.
Okay.
Unforgiveness will block it all. Unforgiveness will actually send a good person to hell.
Yeah.
Because then you're being the opposite of Christ. And how can you call yourself a Christian when you're the opposite of him? I know that sounds kind of harsh, but it's in the Word of God.
Right.
You know, somebody said, well, how many times are we supposed to forgive? Seven times seven, 70. Okay. Which basically that's a large number. And that would be in one day. And I can't imagine that anybody would have to forgive somebody in one day that many times.
Right.
The point of the matter, what he was saying to us, is you forgive and you forgive and you forgive and you forgive and you forgive.
Right.
And you forgive.
Forever.
You know? And if you're listening today and you have, and I know a lot of people do, if you have bitterness, rage, rancor of any kind towards anybody, you have to pray from your heart to take that away. You can't just say it with your mouth. It has to come from your heart. I have a whole story, but we don't have the time to get into it, how the Lord taught me about forgiveness. It was life-changing. When I finally came to the realization of what he was talking about, even though I had mouthed it, even though I said I forgave everybody, there was one individual that I said I forgave them, but deep in my heart, I had it. And because of circumstances, God proved to me, he said, something happened to that individual and it was bad. And I said, good, he deserves it. And God said, see, I told you, you need to forgive.
Yes, he's very quick at, and the closer you are to God, the more you're going to be corrected. But that's what you want. That's the only way to get through it.
Yes. Well, I'm glad I went through all the things I've gone through. Forgiveness to me is automatic now. I don't have time. I don't have time to be messing with that because unforgiveness is a cancer to your own soul. All it does is eat at you and eat you up. It doesn't affect the person that you're not forgiving. That person probably don't give you a second thought. They didn't care when they hurt you. They don't care now. So you just have to let it go and be more like Christ and forgive. And in a sense of a word, when you do that, that brings you life. That raises you from the dead.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yes, very much.
Good. Man, we're running out of time here. We got about 5 minutes left. Only have one caller in. They didn't want to talk. We had a couple others, and they dropped off. And I apologize. If you're still listening, I apologize that we didn't get to you sooner. But I do want to take the time to thank everybody for calling in. I do appreciate it. This radio show is growing. it's not, I haven't been the guest that long, but we're expanding. We're on Spotify, Overcast FM, Anchor FM, and I can't think of the other one, but there's one more. And God's done all that. I hadn't had anything to do with it. It just happened. So I'm praying that we will continue to grow this show. And I want to thank each and everybody that listens. So, okay, we've got 4 minutes and 33 seconds left. Give me your thoughts as we get closer to closing.
I actually have a read here. And
go
if
ahead.
You know who Derek Prince is, Derek Prince
oh,
is,
I do.
Yes.
He's wonderful. Awesome.
Spoke a word, and it really just stuck with me, and I felt like I needed to read this today.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's to all the listeners, you know, and so these are not my words, but it says, some of us are presently in the fights of our lives. It may be sickness, desperation, our marriages, work, children, but someone is going through something that you're fighting tooth and nail. And the devil is coming to you with all of these alternate routes, with condemnation, with lies, and you feel like it's not going to end. But the Lord wants to encourage you. If Satan is fighting you, if it's a struggle for you to live right, if it's a struggle and fight when you try to read the Word of God, if it's a struggle when you try to grow and you feel like you get beat down, the Lord wants you to know something dear, that it means that you don't belong to Satan, because Satan
Amen.
Doesn't fight for what belongs to him. He doesn't fight
Amen.
For what he already has. Satan fights for what belongs to God. If you're fighting, you're in a good place. As long as you're fighting, sometimes, as long as you're fighting, there you go. Sometimes we are made to feel that if we're fighting for our spiritual life, then that means we're weak. Or not living right, or that we haven't been delivered, but that's not true all the time. Sometimes it's an indicator, or it's God allowing himself to show that you don't belong to Satan. Satan is not after those who enjoy indulging into willful sin. He already has them. But he is interested
Amen.
In those who belong to God. So if you're in the fight and you feel bad about your fight, Paul said, I fought a good fight. Your fight really means that you're a child of God. The mere fact that you have to fight means that Satan is after you, because you don't belong to him. So keep
Amen.
Fighting whatever you do. No matter how bad it gets, you keep fighting. Because when we stop fighting and give in to our situations, habits, addictions, attitudes, that means we belong to Satan and we give him the legal rights over our lives. It says you do not belong to him. If he keeps fighting for you, God has something in you that Satan wants to destroy. I will say this. I know that I've been in a huge spiritual battle over this whole talking on your show. I've had a lot of things come at me, at my family. But I want to say the Lord gave me a word just before I came on. Please let me find it before we run out of time.
Okay, we've got about a minute.
All right, I'm trying to get there.
All right. I want to thank the last caller for calling in. We appreciate you. Go ahead.
Basically, he told me to speak what was on my mind, speak what is in my heart, and that he would be with me and protect me. So just give your life.
Thank him for that.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank you so very much for being our guest today, Kimberly. I thought this was a great show. I absolutely appreciate you. However, we are out of time. It's amazing how fast an hour can go when you're talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so very much. God bless all of you. Thank you. We'll be back next week.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.